My dearest Charlotte, nothing much new here, and it is also late. So, as usual, this will be a short letter to say hello, to let you know how much I love you. Haven't yet seen one gal in all my travels who compares at all with you. At present, I'm listening to Bob Hope on the radio. On Wednesday, I'll be 22. I can't believe it. I'd better get home and start my life with you in a hurry. Well, sweetheart, I must say goodnight for now and a million kisses. Write often, sweet. I love so much to get your letters, and I haven't had any for 3 days. I love you, darling, with all my heart, body, and soul. All my love, Robert.
Dearest mother and father, sweet Robert proposed marriage and I said yes. Cannot wait to tell you all of the details and start planning our lovely white wedding. Thinking about a summer gathering out in the garden, perhaps. Your loving daughter, Charlotte.
Hello?
Hi, honey, it's me. I'm about to leave the office. It's been a long day. Jim's got me working on the Johnson case again. What's going on at home?
I'm sorry, that's a drag. The kids are doing their homework, and I've got a casserole in the oven, so I'll see you soon. Be safe.
Okay, I love you.
Bye, dear.
Hey, Robert, it's me. I'm leaving the office, okay? Love you. Bye.
Got mail.
Do you notice the shifts that took place during that short video? Let's look at the one on the surface. The one on the surface, the more obvious one, is the shift in the means of communication. From a handwritten letter to a telegram all the way to iPhone. But did you notice the other shift? The shift not just in the means of communication, but did you notice the shift in the content of the communication? You know, not anymore do we spend a whole lot of time writing long, well-thought-out, handwritten letters. You see, technology has not just impacted how we communicate, the means by which we communicate, but it's also impacted the content of our communication. And look at it not just through the lens of our interpersonal communication, but think about the way the media communicates with us and the way that we consume media. Few of us spend a lot of time reading long-form articles anymore, and maybe every now and then we click on a headline and read a longer article, but for the most part, most of us get most of our news through little sound bites and headlines. Here's a shift that's happening in our society. In our society, not just over the last several generations, but really even just in the last 10, 15, 20 years, we've become shorter and shorter in our communication with one another. Sure, there are times when we write long letters, there are times when we have long phone calls, but more and more frequently, the way that we communicate with people, especially the people that we love, is in shorter and shorter sound bites. No longer long letters, but short text messages. In this series over the next 3 weeks, what we're gonna do is something really, really simple. We're gonna look at three shifts that have taken place in our society. Three shifts. The first one today is gonna be about how we communicate with each other. And we're going to look at these shifts not through the lens of whether they're good or they're bad. We're going to look at these shifts just through the lens of the fact that they're there. And how is it that we, in a society that is shifting, can continue to relate with the people that are around us well? And you may be asking, why in the world would we be talking about this in the church? We're talking about in the church for two reasons. One, we really want you to have good, strong relationships. And if we don't recognize that society is shifting and that's impacting the way that we relate with one another, we're going to get left behind and we're not going to be relating with our friends, our family, our spouses the way that we want to be relating with them. But here's the second reason. The way that we relate with one another is at the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And as our society shifts, if we don't recognize what's happening and shift the way that we relate with one another, then we run the risk of not being able to serve Jesus as well, because we're not serving the people around us as well either. So today, very simple, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do a little bit of cultural analysis. We're gonna look at this shift. And then we're gonna do a little bit of Bible study. We're gonna look at what the words of Scripture might have to say to this. And then we're gonna get super practical. I'm gonna give you a super practical take home that you can implement today. And what this super practical take home has to do with is this one simple question. This one question. This is where we're driving it today. What is one thing you can do starting today in 2018, in the midst of our culture that is shifting? What is one thing that you can do starting today to become two things? To become one, a better friend, and two, a more desirable date or spouse. Now, whether you're a middle schooler or you have grandkids that are in middle school, I think you want to know what this one thing is that you can begin to do today in our shifting society to become a better friend and either a more desirable date or a more desirable spouse. Okay, let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time that we get to spend together, and I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will guide us. Lord, as culture around us shifts, Lord, I pray that we will be able to be men and women who learn how it is that we can continue to relate with each other and relate with each other well. So God, won't you guide this conversation? Won't you take the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, and may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, before we dive all the way in, I just want to say a word of welcome as Hannah did earlier. Some of you are here and this church is already your home, or you've been in a church before and it feels comfortable. Some of you are here for the first time or the first time in a while and it may feel a little bit uncomfortable. Some of you are here and life is going well. 2018 is off to a great start. Some of you are here and 2018 is already a little bit rough. And some of you are here and you're bought into the Christian faith, and some of you are exploring it, and some of you may be openly antagonistic to it, but you've decided to give it another shot for whatever reason. And here's the thing. No matter what got you in here, no matter who you are or how you got here, this is the church. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you're welcomed here, and we're really glad, no matter how you got here, that you're here this morning. So my name's Matt, and I'm one of our associate ministers of the church and the pastor here at the 930 Cornerstone Service. And here's just a little bit of insight into me that's going to get us started with this kind of cultural analysis. I got my first girlfriend when I was a freshman in college. It was a short relationship that lasted far longer than it should have. I started dating this girl. She lived just about a couple hundred miles up the road. It was a long-distance relationship. I was at one college in Virginia, and she was halfway across the state at another college. And during that time, I spent a lot of money on one particular thing. What do you think I spent a lot of money on? I spent a lot of time driving to Walmart buying calling cards. Remember phone cards? They were cheaper than the old long-distance model, but it was still expensive. I spent a lot of money in this short relationship talking to this girl who lived 200 miles down the road in the same state that I was in on the telephone. Fast forward 3 years. This girl's long gone. I start talking to this other girl. She's not halfway across the state. She's halfway across the country in Texas. I meet her, and we start talking, and we talk on the phone a whole lot more for free, because by that point, we both have cell phones. And along with cell phones came free long distance. Fast forward a few years later, and this young lady and I are engaged. I go on a mission trip with this church to Costa Rica. And no matter what phone plan you had in 2007, calling from Costa Rica wasn't free. So we're engaged. It's about 2 months before our wedding, and I spend a lot of money talking to her on the telephone. We spend a lot of money with AT&T that month. Here's the last little transition. Fast forward just a few years after that, we're married, we have our first kid. I again go to Costa Rica to the same hotel. She's in the same city that she was before. We talk on the phone even more than we did before, but this time we do it for free because we're talking through Wi-Fi. And not only are we talking on the phone, but we can see each other for free. Just think about that. I mean, the video took us through a few different generations. It took us generations back. Look at this shift that just happened in 13 years. The beginning, I was paying money to talk on a landline to a woman who was halfway across a state. 13 years later, I'm talking internationally, looking at someone entirely for free in a computer that could fit in my pocket. Don't miss what's happening here. Yes, we have some shifts that are happening in the way that we communicate, the means that we communicate, what we're holding in our hand, whether it's a pen or it's a phone. Yes, that's happening. But what's also happening is that we're shifting the content of our communication. Think about the way that you wish people happy birthday. We used to send cards or we used to make phone calls. I make very few phone calls now to wish people happy birthday. What do we do now? Well, we send text messages or we wish them happy birthday on Facebook. And what it does is it cuts out the time that we would have spent with them on the phone. And just think about how texting has changed. I mean, when we first started texting, we would text in complete sentences. We'd say something like, happy birthday, boo, I love you. But then we decided that that was too much to type, so we started using abbreviations. Things like, happy birthday, boo, love you. Now, if you're in middle school or high school, you know that this is very different from L-O-V-E, right? These are two very different words. I mean, you say this to your friends, but look, if you're a parent of a middle schooler or high schooler and you see their text and they're using an O and an E, it's serious, right? But then, you know, even abbreviations got to be too much, and now what do we use? We just use pictures to talk to each other, right? The way that we communicate is changing, and it's not just changing what we have in our hands, it's changing the content of our communication. And I'm just telling you, this has a big impact on how it is that we live out our lives as men and women who want to be followers of Jesus. And here's why. Because at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian, at the very heart of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, are questions about how we communicate with the people that are the closest to us. So let's take just a second and look at one short passage and see what it has to say about how a disciple of Jesus connects with the people around them. Now, this passage is going to be familiar to some of you. Some of you may have never heard it before. But as we walk through it, look for that. What might these few words say to us about how we can communicate well and what it means to communicate with the people around us? Now, you likely, over the last couple of weeks, heard a little bit of the Christmas story. And if the Christmas story had anything to do with angels or shepherds or anything like that, you heard it out of the book of Matthew or the book of Luke. But there's a third Christmas account that doesn't talk about Mary or Joseph. It doesn't even talk about the baby Jesus. It doesn't talk about any of that. It doesn't talk about what happened. It talks about why it happened. And here's that version of the Christmas story in John. Let's see what this says about how we communicate with each other. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is the main character of this part of John's story. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So three things about this character, the Word. The Word was with God in the very beginning. The Word was not created by God. The Word has been around from the very beginning. And the Word was with God. What was the Word doing at the beginning? Well, the Word was with God. And it goes even further. Not only was the Word with God, but the Word actually was God. In the beginning, there was God, and there was the Word, and they're of the same kind of essence, though they're distinct from one another. If you like theological language, this is in the Trinity, the Father and the Son. In the beginning, the Word was there with God, and the Word was God. And then John 1:2 emphasizes that again. He was in the beginning with God. And it tells us a little bit more in John 1:3. All things, everything, came into being through him, that's the Word, and without him, not one thing came into being. From the very beginning, everything that was created, everything that you've ever seen, touched, taste, felt, everything that you know about came into being through the Word. Nothing came into being without the Word. And we're going to skip down just a little bit and see what else it says about the Word. He was in the world, this is the Word, and the world came into being through him. The Word was not far off. The Word was in the world. Now, this is pre-Jesus. This is Old Testament times. But the Word is still here with us. And this is what happens when the Word is in the world. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. Okay, this is huge. The Word is in the world. He comes to the people that he created, the thing that he made, but they don't accept him. This is like you walking into the company that you started and nobody wanting you there. This is you walking into the family that you created, that you're a part of, and they don't want you there. The Word was in the world, but it didn't accept him. But there were some people that did. And all who received him and believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. And a little side note, this is why I do what I do. The reason that I do what I do is because I've seen it happen in my life and in other people's life that when people receive the Word, that they're given power and they're changed. They become children of God. And this is a little bit of a description of what that looks like. It, people who are born not of blood or of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. People who do accept that, who come into a relationship with the Word, it changes them. That's why I do what I do. But here is where we get to what's most important for us today. The Word is in the world, but people can't see him. He's not tangible. You can't touch him. But people reject him. But here is what God does at Christmas. John 1:14. You want to talk about verses in the Bible that are foundational to what we believe? This is one of them. It's just the first half of John 1:14. The Word, which has been with God from the beginning, is God, became flesh and lived among us. The Word put on flesh, put on a body, became human, came into the world, and lived among us. He came human, and he didn't live far off, but he lived right with his people. You know, the fancy theological term for this is the incarnation. God came into the world. In is simply, it's the word in. And carnation is not just the word for a flower, but it's the word for flesh. He came into the world in flesh. Like, here's the thing. You want to know about what's right at the heart of who Jesus is? What's right at the heart of the Christian message? It's this. When it would have been easier for God to step out of the world has rejected me over and over again. The world is not going in the right direction. When it would have been easier for God to step out, what does God do? God steps in. This is at the heart of what we believe as Christians, is that God stepped into the world when God could have stepped out of the world. God steps in when he could have stepped out. When in your life has someone stepped into your life when it would have been easier for them to step out? Has that ever happened for you? Because you see, for people who follow God, this is what we do. For people who follow Jesus, we follow in his footsteps. We seek to be people who step in when it would have been easier to step out. Who in your life has done that? Is there somebody in your life when it would have been easier for them to step away from you, when it would have been easier for them to wash their hands of you, when it would have been easier for them to focus on their own family, on their own things, when it would have been easier for them to say that you're gonna have to deal with, who stepped into your life when it would have been easier to step out? A few years ago, I was going through the ordination process in the Methodist Church. It's a long, grueling process. Wrote a lot of paperwork, filmed some sermons, sent them to some people. And then the last step is an all-day interview with three different groups of people. So at the end of that day, your presenter, who's the person who's walked through this with you, they come out and they tell you whether you passed or you failed. They don't call it failing. They call it being deferred, but it's just a nice way to say you failed, right? So here comes my presenter, and I notice a bad sign. My presenter has somebody else with him. And none of the other presenters, they're just like smiling and going on their own. My guy's got somebody with him. I think this is probably not good. And they take me into a room and they tell me that I failed. I mean, they said I deferred, but like I failed, right? And here's the thing. My presenter told me that. It was not a good thing to hear. And then this other pastor who I had met just earlier that day said, his name's Davis Chappell. He said, Matt, here's the thing. I know this isn't good news. I know this is hard for you to hear. But here's what you need to know. I've already asked the Board of Ordained Ministry if I can mentor you over the next year. And if you and I can meet monthly, and if I can help prepare you to come back before the board next year. Davis led a big church. He had other young clergy on his staff that he was mentoring. It would have been easier for him to step out. He had no business stepping in, but he chose to step into my life. And I'm different because of it. Have you had people do that for you? Have you had people step in when it would have been easier for them to step out? And for you in 2018, who is someone that God might be leading you to step towards them when it would be easier to step away from them? I had the privilege just a couple days ago of officiating memorial service for a young lady, Rebecca Brimage, who passed away in our community. As I was reflecting on her life, knowing her, and I was reflecting with some of her family and some other people that knew her, one of the things that became clear to me is that the reason that Rebecca was the remarkable young woman that she was because before she had cancer and during her 33-month battle with cancer, you know what Rebecca kept doing? She kept stepping into people's lives. When I would text her to check on her, she would always ask me how my family was doing. It'd be easier for her not to be concerned with that. She knew her doctor's names, and not only did she know her doctor's names, she knew her doctor's kids' names, and she knew what her doctor's kids liked to do, what sports they played, and she would ask her doctors about their family. It would have been so much easier for Rebecca to step back, but she continued to step in. Who in your life in 2018 might God be leading you to step towards when it would be easier to step away? So back to our question at the beginning, and this will wrap us up. What can you do in 2018 to become a better friend and a more desirable date or spouse? Look, we live in a culture where attention is at a premium, where it's hard to get somebody's eyes for an extended period of time, and it's difficult to find somebody who's actually interested in you. I mean, think about the way that most of our conversations go. The way that most of our conversations go is that while the other person's talking, we're doing what? We're thinking about what we're going to share next. Here's what you can do. What's one thing that you can do to become a better friend and a more desirable date or spouse in 2018? Well, I'm from Georgia, so I'm really excited about this football game tomorrow night. I was really excited about the football game last week. And here's the thing. One of the stats that they're going to put up after the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third quarter is not only are they going to show the score and they're going to show the total yardage and all those things, they're also going to show the time of possession. And if you're a football team, you want to possess the ball more than the other team, like my Atlanta Falcons did last night, right? You want to possess the ball more than the other team possesses the ball. You want to know how to become a better friend? Forfeit the time of possession battle. When you're with a friend, with a date, with a spouse, you know what you should be obsessed with? Them winning the time of possession battle. Just look across from them. And when they're done with their story, rather than inserting your story, do you know what you do? You ask them more about their story. I mean, you want to become someone that other people love to be around. You want to be the kind of friend that people want close to them. You want to be the kind of date that somebody wants to go on another date with. You want to be the kind of spouse where that lifelong love just continues to unfold. That's what you do. You look at that person and you just think, during this coffee, during this dinner, during this nighttime chat before bed, what my goal is to keep their story going. I'm going to lean into them. And I may be tired and I may want to talk about myself, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to step into their lives. I'm going to pull as much out as I can. I want to hear as much about them, as much about their story as possible. But this is important for two reasons. One, we want you to have healthy relationships. And the best way to have a healthy relationship in our culture that is shifting, where we're doing more and more short, quick communication, the best thing that you can do is be one of the few people who's more concerned with what other people are saying than what you want to say. Be one of those people, you're going to have healthy relationships. But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. When this little section of the scripture wraps up, It says at the end what the result of Jesus' coming was. And there are other results, but this is one of the results of Jesus' coming. This is the result of Jesus, the Word, becoming flesh in John 1:18. This is what happens. Do we not have it? This is what happens. What happens is that no one, it says this, has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. You know what the result of Jesus stepping into the world is? The result is that he makes the Father's heart known when he steps into our world. When it would be easier for him to step out, but he steps in, he makes the Father's heart known. When you step in, when you find that person that it would be easier to step out, but you step in, when you step in, you not only establish a stronger relationship for them, but you put on display for them the Father's heart. Because what you're saying to them when you forfeit the time of possession battle is you're saying, your story is important to me. You're important. I want to know you, and I want to hear about you. When you do that, you not only set yourself up to be a great friend, spouse, or date, but you put on display for them God's love for them. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about two other shifts that are happening in our society. Two ways that society is changing, and two adaptations that we can make in our own lives to ensure that we have the kinds of relationships that we want to have, and ensure that we can be the kind of Christians, the kind of followers of Jesus, who are putting on display the Father's heart. So that you'll be back next week. Next week, we're going to talk about how it is that we could possibly be a society that is more connected than ever, but yet we feel just as lonely as we ever have. And then the last week, we're going to talk about romantic relationships and how we expect more from our spouses now than any generation has ever expected before. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time that we've had together, and I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will now guide us as we step into a time of communion. Lord, what communion is it's a reminder to us that you stepped into our world. So God, as we receive this bread and this wine, Lord, I pray that it will be for us a reminder, Lord, that you step close to us and an inspiration for us, Lord, to step close to others. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.